bread, I'll tell you. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. We all come to get something, don't we, folks? Don't we all come here to get something? You know? Oh, he's coming back. He wants more. Great. Yeah. Well, with this message, I hope to reveal the truth of Christ about gathering together, assembling ourselves together. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture that relates an account of Jesus appearing to his disciples after he was resurrected. The main idea of the message is to show the importance of believers gathering together. And we're going to see the joy that's expressed by those first followers of Christ when they realized that he was alive. And we can express that same joy through our belief. We can express that same joy when we encounter Christ through his word. We'll see that Jesus commanded them to have peace and that their ministry work was just beginning. And I believe that's a message that continues to this day. Our ministry work is beginning. And even though we've been involved, all of us, I'm sure, for a long time in the church, we still have work to do. It's never done. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. And it's Christ who empowered those early followers with the Holy Spirit to do the work and to endure the trials, because they were going to endure trials. And this is the same today. We have access to his Holy Spirit to overcome those obstacles to doing the work that he's instructed. We can ask God to give us the strength by his Spirit to overcome those negative feelings that we might have whenever we consider inviting somebody to come to the services here. And the final point today is going to be that we see that there were unbelievers, and they're contrasted with the true believers. We find that in the passage there. We're going to listen to Christ speak to us from across the centuries, that believing you may have life in his name. So if you will, please open your Bible to the 20th chapter of John, and we're going to begin at verse 19. That's John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, and we're going to read through verse 31. That's John 20, beginning at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. I pray in Christ's name that he would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You see that I drew the title of the message, "Believing You May Have Life in His Name," from that last verse. The text that we just read clearly expresses the joy that those first followers had when they realized this was what he had prophesied. He had told them he was going to die, be buried, and he was going to be raised again. And here he was standing in their midst alive. The doors were locked because they were afraid. The doors were shut. They were closed. They were barricaded probably. They didn't want the Jews to get in because they were afraid. And here comes Jesus popping in their midst, okay? Now, to me, if Jesus just popped in our midst, I don't know if I'd be afraid or if I'd be overjoyed or both. But I'll tell you what, I know if it happened, it would probably be just like these disciples, okay? When we knew it was him, we would be overjoyed. Wow, it's him, okay? And they got that. Now, can we encounter Christ today in that manner? Can we actually feel him? Can we touch him? Can we see him with our eyes? Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. And this is the purpose of gathering together, is to encounter the living Christ as a group, as a body, of which we are all a part of, with Christ as the head. The joy of the Lord is our strength always, regardless of the circumstances or situations that arise in our lives. We can hold fast to our trust in Almighty God and His everlasting love for us. We know that He loves us. Jesus told them that they were loved, and yet they were still afraid. A perfect fear casts out, or perfect love casts out fear. Forgive me. It's an illustration of the peace that we can have by faith. Each of us who has encountered the living Christ, we can know that He's with us each time that we gather together. He said so. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. The same as He came in their midst, He's in our midst. When we don't see Him, they were able to see Him. And we're more blessed because we believe without seeing. We can be used by God to bring peace into each other's lives too. Jesus commanded them to have peace. And their ministry work was just beginning to expand. They had walked with Him for 3 or 3.5 years. And He said, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." They were already afraid of what the authorities might do to them. And you know, these days it's starting to look that way to us too. We might be afraid of what the authorities are going to do in the near future. Things could change, folks. But that's not to give you fear. It's to give you that peace of Christ, because Jesus Himself gave it to them when He had just been killed. Eventually, each of those men gave their life in the course of doing the work that Christ had given them to do. And many, many people after them did also. We have been spared. We've lived in a time which has been relatively peaceful in the church in this country. But in other places in the world, there are people that are dying almost every day because of the name of Christ. Jesus instructed them with peace when He said, "Peace to you." And you have to remember the account of Jesus calming the wind and the waves. Do you remember that? What did He say? "Peace, be still." It's that same kind of peace. He's instructing the wind and the waves to have peace, to calm down, to have that levelness. It's the same thing that He calls us to. And how do we get that? How do we get that? By interacting with one another. Very often, just being able to talk with somebody and say, "You know what, I need some prayer." Sometimes it's in private with others in the congregation whenever we're sitting next to them. Other times it's in a group setting whenever we're lifting up our prayer requests. We get that peace in knowing that God does answer prayer and that we can gather together and have that. We only need to trust Him. And He'll be with us as we go where He sends us. And sometimes that's to invite others. And right here, right now, you know, the main way that people come into contact with Christ these days is through church services. That's the main way. The number one way. And we are a part of that. We have an opportunity, I think, because of this national event, we have an opportunity to get people to come into the doors and to hear the Word of God. It's Christ who sends His followers to find people who need Him, and it's Christ who empowers those whom He sends. He empowers us. Gathering ourselves together is a way to experience that re-energizing power of Christ. You know, in the gathering of believers, we recognize the truth of Christ to uplift one another. Okay? We're able to share our successes and our strategies for overcoming the world. We can believe together and we can regroup. That's all part of why we gather. It's not just to show up for an hour on Sunday morning and say, "Well, you know, I put my hour in this week." It is to build one another up. As we assemble, we encourage the spiritual discipline that strengthens us as ambassadors of Christ. He made every follower an ambassador. We have a duty and obligation to Him to share His word. Those people met daily. That's how the early church grew in leaps and bounds, and they broke bread from house to house. The Spirit of Almighty God is observed in the lives of obedient servants. They obeyed at that time. That was what God wanted. At this time, at the very least, is that we would gather during the regular services. In fact, that's in the constitution of this church, that we would gather for the regular services. And we see that God does lead people, and Christ commands us to be at peace and take His message to others. Those early followers were not alone. Jesus empowered them with the Holy Spirit to do the work and endure the trials. And this is the same today, folks. It hasn't changed. The Holy Spirit still gives you the power to take the Word and share it with others. And maybe that just means saying, hey, you know what, I really care about you. Would you come to church with me on Sunday? It's not a hard thing to do, to ask somebody to come with you. The Holy Spirit empowers you to do the work and endure those things that you might encounter as you're doing it. It's the same. We have access to His Holy Spirit to overcome the obstacles that are there. And those obstacles are there. It's His work. He's instructed it. And we're going to meet with obstacles, and the Holy Spirit's going to help us to overcome those obstacles. It just means that when God brings you to something, He'll also bring you through it. According to the gospel record of the Apostle John, Jesus said the Holy Spirit of Almighty God is the Comforter. That's found in four places in the gospel record of John. The Holy Spirit's called the Comforter. And that Greek word translated comforter or helper is parakleos. Parakleos. In the context of Jesus' teaching, it means the Holy Spirit was destined to take the place of Christ with the apostles after He ascended to the Father. And He, the Holy Spirit, would lead them to a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth. He would give them that divine strength needed to enable them to undergo those trials and the persecutions that they would go under on behalf of the divine kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit leads God's people into a deeper knowledge of that gospel truth. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us. And how else but to get into His Word? How else than to interact with one another? How else but then to pray? The Holy Spirit leads us. This is one of the influences that He has over us as we gather. He helps us to avoid error in our learning and teaching also. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us all things. Assembling ourselves together in the name of Christ benefits all believers who are filled with His Spirit. And we're filled to overflowing. Rivers of living water will flow out of us, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit helps the united body of Christ overcome all things in this life through divine strength. According to Jesus, He'll teach you all things, bring into your remembrance all things that Jesus taught. Well, how are you going to learn that? Could you pick up a Bible by yourself? Sure. You can also learn by gathering together. Assembling ourselves together provides opportunities to receive the teaching of Christ by the Holy Spirit. In the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes, which, by the way, means preacher, that word, Ecclesiastes, King Solomon relates that the oppressed have no comforter. And I wonder if maybe that's what Jesus was referring to whenever He said, "When I leave, I'm going to send you the comforter." Jesus knew the Word. He knew what was written. You know, but Jesus tells us all who are oppressed will now have that comforter, the Holy Spirit. Let's not be so comfortable that we don't want or need the comforter that Almighty God provides. That account that we read this morning illustrates that unbelievers were contrasted from the believers. Those who didn't believe are different from those who believed. Christ speaks to us from across those centuries so that believing you may have life in His name. It's in His name that we gather. We're not gathering in the name of the church or in the name of me or in the name of anybody else in this building. We're gathering in the name of Christ. It's in His name that we gather. Some would say that we don't need to gather together. And you know what? They say they can worship God anywhere and even alone. And I don't argue with them. They're correct. They can. In fact, every true believer should worship Almighty God throughout every day and every place that they find themselves. Most especially in those places where we see nature really revealing the beauty of God. Some will say that they've heard hundreds or even thousands of sermons and they don't recall one of them. I say, well, that's probably how it is with my preaching. I tell them right out, I don't remember my messages. You know, God brings them. I deliver them. But, you know, I'll remind them that they've eaten hundreds or maybe even thousands of meals too. And I ask them to recall a couple of them. How many meals can we recall, folks? I don't remember what I had for supper. Yes, I do. I just did remember what I had for supper last night. But you know what? If we don't eat, we die. And the same is true spiritually. If we don't receive spiritual sustenance, we're going to pass away spiritually, folks. We need to have it. We need to gather together. And so do those people who aren't. You know that there was a study that was done, and they declared that there was more than 80% of the people who do not currently attend church services who would if they were invited by somebody else. And that's our job. We need to invite people to come in. We need to invite them to come to the Word so that they can receive the Word. If we don't trust ourselves to share it with them, as some of us do, some of the people in this congregation are able to do that, and I can think of four or five of you right here, they've already expressed to me that you do that. Maybe more. But you know, if we can't, and even if we can gather together. Rather than being outside of the fellowship, we don't stop ourselves from fellowshipping as some have. We read that in our call to worship today. Gathering together is a means of receiving spiritual sustenance. You know, each of us need that. Without it, we wither and we die spiritually. First time Jesus came, one of the 12, Thomas, who was also called the twin, wasn't with the others. And we know the story of Thomas. I'm not going to belabor it. We don't know where he was. We don't know what he was doing, but he wasn't with them. Maybe he wasn't afraid. Maybe he was out there just walking around in the car in the community without a fear. Maybe he was hiding somewhere else. We don't know. Jesus came with the doors being shut. He stood in the midst and he said, "Peace to you." And Jesus revealed himself to Thomas, and Thomas believed. And that's what we want for other people in our lives. We want to bring Christ to them, and we want them to believe so that they can receive that eternal life that he promises. Jesus revealed himself to Thomas, and Thomas believed. And so can the people that we love. Our times of gathering can be like this too, as the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us in the presence of others. We can have our strength, our faith strengthened. We can have our faith strengthened and renewed by our gathering together in his name. We can be among those that Jesus said are blessed because they believe without seeing. As I wrap this up, I want to recap a few things. I want you to hear these points again. The main idea of the message is to show the importance of believers gathering together. And there are lots more reasons. I can't put them all into a short message. Each of us holds a duty and a responsibility for inviting others to gather with us also. We see that happening in the early church, and it needs to be happening now. You know, the church getting stagnant is not good. It's like stagnant water. We've got to have life, and to have life, we've got to have things moving. It has to be happening. Those first followers of Christ expressed great joy when they received that message from him directly that he was alive. And we can express that same joy through our belief, and we can share it with other people. We can share it with other people. Jesus commanded them to have peace as their ministry work was just beginning. And he commands each of us to have peace too. We don't have to be concerned about what people think or what they say or what they might think or what they might say. A lot of times we'll build up so much fear in our mind, we won't even take a step. Oh, I'm frozen in fear. Sorry, I can't invite you. You know? And we need to get past that. We need to let the Lord lead us and guide us by his Holy Spirit and empower us to say, "Hey, you know what? We're having a service next week and we'd like you to come." And hand somebody one of those little cards and just invite them. We've got more here if you need any, by the way. He empowered those early followers with the Holy Spirit to do the work and then to endure those trials. The Holy Spirit's the same today as he was yesterday. And he'll empower you to do what you have to do. It's the same. We have access to his Holy Spirit to overcome any obstacles to doing the work that he's instructed. Unbelievers are everywhere, folks. You know that. You see it in this valley and anywhere else around here. And I have to ask, remind you that those who the Father calls to himself are also everywhere. And sometimes he's going to use you to call them to himself. Are you a true believer in the one that we call Christ? Well, then share your love of him with others. If you're a true believer, you know, you think about one of the disciples when he was called. He ran and he said, "We found the Messiah! We found the Messiah!" And he was telling other people. You think of the woman at the well. She went and told everybody in town, I think this is the one. And this is something that we see all through Scripture. People want to share their faith. People who follow Jesus want to introduce him to others. And these days, as I said earlier, the number one place is here in buildings like this, in congregations like this. When you invite people, just say, "Hey, next Sunday is a national Back to Church Sunday all over the country. Would you come to church with me next Sunday?" Just something simple. That's all you need to say. Pray first, though, and be bold. Just be direct. Just like you're talking to them about the football game or the grocery store or the prices of meat or gas or whatever. Just share with them. And God will do the rest. And I ask that you would hear Christ from across the centuries. Share his message of love, by inviting others to gather with us next week, that believing maybe they too would have life in his name. I ask that you would do that and maybe consider recommitting your life to Christ. Maybe just coming up and praying and saying, you know what, I need that strength. I want that strength. I want God to take a hold of me and use me for his glory to the building of his kingdom. If you feel that you don't have the strength to do that, then come forward. You can come forward right now. We'll pray right now that God would overcome you and take you and give you that boldness, that holy boldness and that strength. That you would be able to stand up and say, you know what? I love God and I want you to love him too. I want you to love him just like I do. And I want you to receive that benefits, you know, of eternal life, that everlasting life that only God can provide through that sacrifice that only God could make. Think about it, folks. You know, there's a lot of people out there whose eternal destiny is at hand. And I'm not saying doing it in a humanist sense. You know, it's not about them. It's all about God getting glory. And we want to give God glory. And how do we do that? By bringing other souls into the kingdom. Those that he's calling. You know, the Holy Spirit's already preparing the way. And maybe handing somebody a little card like this, that might just be the last little step that they need to find God where they can find him in his word. And you know that here, they're going to receive the word of God. I don't know about anywhere else, but I know here they will. So think about that as you go forward today and ask that we would now pray. Father, help us. Help us to be on fire for you. Help us, Lord, to recommit our lives to you, that we would want to do the work that you've put before us. Lord, help us not to be afraid. Help us to put that fear aside and to have the peace that passes understanding. Help us to hear Christ speak from across the centuries and help us to share his message by others, maybe inviting others to gather here with us. And perhaps, Lord, if it be next week, then thank you. If it be another week, then thank you. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to bring them in. Help us to bring in those wandering ones, the wandering ones, Lord, that only need to be guided onto the path of Christ that leads to everlasting life. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.